Welcome to the South Cars Conference number 96140. Connection established.
Back.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the TNT Open Forum, home of the Wave Guys podcast. This open forum is brought to you by South Cars, the South Coast amateur radio service. All listeners are encouraged to check in. All contacts and requests for information will be handled through net control. This car server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by KB8ZGL. This net is conducted under the guidelines of our organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for our digital operation, www.voip.southcars.com. Prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. All right, well, hearing nothing on a long pause, let's get started.
And now, here with an unlimited supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
Your net control for this session is Pete, Victor Echo 2 X-ray, Papa Lima. That's me. I'm located in Montreal, Canada, where the temperature this evening is minus 2 degrees Celsius, about 30 degrees Fahrenheit, under cloudy skies. It's pretty mild this evening. We're actually forecasting a high of plus 4 tomorrow afternoon, plus 4 Celsius or 38 Fahrenheit, which is a little warmer than it is this time of year. They're also forecasting rain, so our New Year's Eve will be a little bit rainy, so they say. And if tomorrow's New Year's Eve, that's right, tomorrow is New Year's Eve, which means that tonight is New Year's Eve Eve, and tonight is the TNT Open Forum and the Waveguides Podcast New Year's Eve Eve Special. It's also the last episode of 2010, so I hope you guys enjoy it. Start with a few quick announcements. Of course, as usual, NCS and administrative people are always required in the South Cars family. Please contact us at voip@southcars.com if you're interested. It's a lot of fun, people. I encourage you to get involved. We're a good bunch. We like to have fun. And South Cars basically gives us carte blanche to operate within the rules of South Cars, but basically, if you have a good idea and you want to present it, bring it on, and we'll be happy to share that with the rest of the South Cars family and the world, really. Speaking of the world, there's my segue. Worldwide hospitality people are required to act as South Cars ambassadors of goodwill. For further information, please contact us at, again, voip@southcars.com. Ambassadors of goodwill will be those of you who wish to greet people who join our server for the first time or second time. Tell us a little bit, tell them a little bit about what we're about, and make them feel welcome. We always require ambassadors of goodwill, and we already have a good bunch of ambassadors, official and non-official. Basically, anybody who hangs out on the server and welcomes new people is considered an ambassador. But if you want to make it official, please give us a shout. We're trying to fill various slots to get the entire time zones, all the time zones covered to make people feel welcome. Of course, we're looking for people who speak different languages as well. French, English, Spanish, any language that you may speak, Russian, Indonesian, bring it on. We'd be happy to have you on board. And we'd like to take this opportunity also to wish, we'd like to thank each and every one of you for your participation with the South Cars VOIP organization. As the year ends, we'd like to say our thanks. This wing of South Cars, the VOIP, started on the first on its first net session on January 5th, 2008, so we're already about to hit our third year. The first net started with an enrollment of 102 new members. 3 years later, at the start of our fourth year, Our membership on January 5th, 2011 has grown to over 1,900. Wow, projecting into the future. So we're not January 5th yet, so I guess this is a pre-press release. You're getting the first news here. Our combined membership, HF and VOIP, will be over 10,570. So we're proud of the organization. We're proud of you. Thank you. It's because of you guys that we've reached such huge numbers. And that's nothing to be sneezed at. Almost 2,000 members on the VOIP side in 3 years is a great, great accomplishment. So congratulations, Southcars, and congratulations to you all. So here's a little bit of a preview of what's coming up on the VOIP website. This is going to be on the breaking news, and it's already been posted on the HF website. We have two Southcars luncheons that are planned for January and February 2011. The first will be January 8th, 2011 in Lakeland, Florida at the Golden Corral Restaurant, exit 32 off of I-4. 4705 U.S. Highway 98 is the address. The tailgate and or eyeball QSO in the parking lot until noon, which is 12 p.m. Eastern, of course. So you go through the buffet line individually. So that will be the first event. Second one will be February 5th, 2011. I remember this one in Valdosta, Georgia. This is the Old Time Country Buffet in the same location as last year for those of you who are habituated to that event. And if you're not, that same location will be 1193 North St. Augustine Road. That's off exit 18 on Interstate 75. Also, tailgate and eyeball QSO in the parking lot until noon. Buffet line individually. Those sound like two great events. For any anybody who's interested, please communicate with Rick. That's ND4Z if you plan on attending. So you could let Rick know on the air on 7.251, or you can give him an email at ND4Z@yahoo.com. ND4Z@yahoo.com. You can reach Rick on the SCAR server, of course, or he's even given his phone number, so phone number will be available on the SCAR's website and on the HF website. So each person who attends will receive a Southcars decal and a membership card. Wow, I should get down there. I haven't gotten my membership card. I'm lucky enough to have a decal, or is that called a decal? I'm not sure. I've heard it pronounced both ways. But I don't have my official membership card there. So if Gordon is listening in the background there, you got to ship a membership card up to Canada at your earliest convenience. So I could be a legal member of Southcars, and that way when I'm passing through Florida, I can stop in or in Valdosta, Georgia. So anybody who's in that area, please partake in those two great events. I'm sure that'll be a lot of fun. And with that being said, any questions can also be sent to voip@southcars.com, and we'll make sure that we get that information or that question to the appropriate person, so you don't have to worry about remembering 1,000 email addresses. That's the one, voip@southcars.com. And keep in mind that this TNT Open Forum is being recorded for the Wave Gods podcast. We'd like to welcome all of our podcast listeners as well. Every week we record for podcast purposes, and we make that accessible on the waveguides.ca website. waveguides.ca is the direct access. And of course, we make it convenient for you. You can access us via the voip.southcars.com website. If you look on the left-hand side, you'll see a link to the TNT podcast, and that'll take you right to the website. So you can access the latest podcast there. There's a blog for a little bit of interactivity, and there's also an About Us page, so you can see who is involved, who all is involved in this little endeavor of ours, and, of course, the podcast archives, including show notes. So check it out on the voip.southcars.com website. All right, I'd like to find out if there's anybody having a birthday this week. If there's anybody listening who will be celebrating a birthday in the next 7 days, we'd like to recognize you at this time if you care to be recognized. So any birthday celebrations, please come aboard now. Michael's celebrating a birthday this week, KD0CDQ, one of our NCSs and TNT co-producers. So if you bump into Michael this week, wish him happy birthday. Michael does a lot for South Cars, is involved in the TNT Open Forum, is also involved, is actually the father of the outreach program, and is very involved in the various courses that are given throughout the year. And just an all-around good guy, so give him a pat on the shoulder if you see him. Wish him happy birthday. It'll make him feel older, but it'll make him feel good. I say that tongue-in-cheek, of course, because none of us like to be reminded of our birthdays. Some of us less than others, I guess. It doesn't really bother me. I figure what I'm losing in athleticism, I'm gaining in wisdom. At least that's the theory, and that's my story, and I'm going to stick to it. So, all right, well, if we have any birthday people that pop in at any time, if you feel like saying hi, feel free to say hi. You can hear the hubbub in the background, perhaps. My girls are having a sleepover tonight, so if you hear screaming little girls, well, that's a normal sound around here this time of year. Holidays have been very lively around the Landry household. We're happy to host a lot of sleepovers lately. The girls are having a lot of fun, and it's been a good holiday. So we hope on this last episode of 2010 and on this New Year's Eve special, we hope that you guys will be having a happy New Year. We hope that y'all had a good Christmas, a good holiday. Hope that all your wishes and dreams will come true. And basically, if you have your health and if you have loving people around you, well, basically that's all you need. So I wish that upon all of you for 2011. All right, extend kind and warm hellos to Pete, KD4OVI, and George, KW4LCB, who waved to me in the text box. Hello, gentlemen. Happy to have you guys aboard. We hope you enjoy the really big shoe tonight. Let's see, what are we going to be talking about tonight? What's next on the agenda?
Hello there, Peabody here. And this is the Wayback Machine. We're traveling through time. And this is my boy, Sherman.
Where are we going today, Mr. Peabody?
Where are we going indeed? Well, today I thought we'd do a little bit of a brief history of the calendar. Since we're leaving an old year and going into a new one, I figured I didn't know what else to talk about, really. And I started thinking about time and came across this article that I thought was really interesting. So I thought I'd share some key points of it with you, little parts of it that I thought were very interesting on how the calendar of today came to be. Before we start, of course, I'd like to see if anybody would like to check in. This is, after all, an open forum, although it sometimes sounds like a one-way broadcast. It is an open forum, and I encourage all y'all to stick your noses in and give me your opinion or just say hello at any time. So at this time, I'll open the mic to see if anybody wants to say a quick hello to us. Welcome to the TNT Open Forum and its Waveguides podcast equivalent. This is Pete, Victor Echo 2 X-Ray Papa Lima, and this is the Open Forum, part of the Open Forum, so come on aboard.
We all jump in there, Pete. Don't want to hijack you. You're going on, but top of the evening to you there. Yeah, looking forward to hearing you talk on the calendar and time. I myself don't pay a whole lot of attention to it. You know, I just let it roll on. But good to see you up and running and making this net. Just wanted to throw that in to you. Top of the evening to you. I hope it's a wonderful time in your neighborhood. It's a wonderful time in mine. And had a nice Christmas and a whole bunch of good friends and loved ones to be around. So what can I say? Let it roll on. KW4, my Charlie Bravo, back to VE2, XPNL.
Very good. Very nice, George. Thanks for saying hello. Thanks for waving over to us. And I'm glad that everything was happy and Christmassy at your house. Of course, we chatted a little bit about it before the holidays. So I'm glad that everything came to fruition. It was pretty much the same around here. It's still magical when you have kids around. So that's the beauty of it. And you get to relive it through their eyes. So that's a little bit of the magic of Christmas. And that way, you know, Christmas lives on. You know, my better half, she'll have the Christmas spirit in her all year long. She would celebrate Christmas 12 months out of the year if we let her. So, you know, for some people, it's in their hearts. And I think that's a decision that we make, you know. We decide to keep it in our hearts or not. So it's kind of a shame that we only, you know, people always seem to be a little bit nicer at Christmas time. Everybody goes out of their way. It'd be nice if we went out of our way all the time. Some of us do, some more than others, and that's the way it rolls. But glad to have you in there, my friend. And well, I hope you enjoy it, too. I was supposed to be doing a little bit of preparation when I had some technical difficulties, and well, that's the way it goes. With that being said, see if anybody else wants to check in, and we'll do this regularly throughout the next hour. Well, this hour has 43 minutes left in it, but does anybody else want to check in? My name is Pete, V2XPL, and this is the TNT Open Forum and the Wave Gods Podcast. All right, well, we'll check in a little bit later on. So apologies if the sound kind of goes up and down and all around. I'm still working on the a new old microphone here, and I'm working out my proximity to it, so overall it seems to be all right. Might be a few pee-pops and things of that nature. I got to work on that. But anyhow, tonight we'll be doing a very brief history of the modern day calendar. And this is an article I found on a website called obliquity.com. And this gentleman is Dr. David Harper. He's a professor emeritus at Harvard University. And he studies all kinds of things, astronomy being one of the main hobbies of his. He also has studied the calendar. And there's an interesting, it's a 15-page article. It's not a huge article. It's about 15 pages long on this website. Check it out, obliquity.com, O-B-L-I-Q-U-I-T-Y, obliquity, as in, you know, how oblique things are. The term obliquity actually refers to the tilt or the inclination of the Earth. You guys might or might not know that the Earth isn't standing on a straight axis in space according to the Sun. Of course, there's no up and down in space, but compared to the Sun, the Earth is tilted about, I think it's 22 or 23 degrees on an axis, and which gives us the seasons, of course. And this phenomenon, this tilt, is called obliquity, and this gentleman called his website obliquity.com. I thought that was kind of interesting. So anyways, the article goes something like this. Of course, this article isn't in its entirety. I'm going to be pulling out bits and pieces of it for your entertainment. So basically, he goes on to say, our lives are bound up with the calendar. We use it to plan our future, of course. You know, the annual round of work, meetings, appointments, holidays, birthdays, other life events. We write in them our diaries so that we don't forget. But our diaries also tell us events of the coming year, public holidays, religious festival, weekends, waxing and wanings of the moon. And it also helps us to look back on the date of our birth. We're just talking about birthdays, personal milestones. Historians even look further back, you know, 1945, 1812, 1066. They seem to be just numbers, but, you know, we know instinctively that there's more to it than that. Each event, either public or personal, great or small, has a day and a month and a year, which fixes its place in time. Time doesn't exist. You know, like George was saying, he doesn't pay attention to the time. Well, there's nothing to pay attention to. Time is a very man-made concept. You know, seconds, minutes, hours, they are completely fabricated. You know, we can completely turn it around and turn it on a decimal system. Wouldn't that be interesting? If we, you know, like we did with kilometers and miles, if we changed the 60 seconds, 60 minutes to a decimal system based on tens, of course, that would kind of negate this whole history of the calendar thing that I'm talking about. And I digress, as I usually do. So let me take a quick pause before I time out, and we'll carry on. So Dr. Harper goes on, we take the calendar for granted because it's always been there. At least in our lifetimes, you know, days following days, months following months, years following years. We know that it has rules. Every fourth year is a leap year, and so we add an extra day to February. But the lengths of the months are irregular. Some are 31 days, some are 30 days. Poor February only has 28 and 3 years out of four. Easter seems to move around at random. The days of the week provide some kind of regularity, but why do we have seven? And why are they named after a mixture of planets and Norse gods? Why do the British pay their taxes on April 5th? I don't know. I didn't even know they paid their taxes on April 5th. I guess you got to pay your taxes sometime. So our calendar can trace its roots back over 6,000 years to ancient Egypt. The story features Julius Caesar, the Council of Nicaea, which gave us the Nicene Creed, a small Russian monk called Denis, and Pope Gregory the VIII. So in case you hadn't seen it coming, the story of the calendar begins with, that's right, astronomy. The Earth, the Sun, and the Moon. To be precise, it begins with the length of the day, the length of the year, and the lunar month, and the fact that neither the year nor the lunar month is an exact number of days, nor the year an exact number of lunar months. The cycle of seasons, spring, summer, autumn, winter, and spring once more, is known to astronomers as the tropical year. Write this down, it'll be on the test. It's known as the tropical year. Can be measured very precisely. Listen to this. It is 365.24218966968 days long. So, you know, you guys who have been saying 365 days, you guys are way off. Although it's gradually getting shorter by about half a second per century. Those of us who are going to live forever are going to be in trouble down the road. All right, bear with me. Those of you who like statistics and math, this section's for you. The lunar month is measured by the phases of the moon, of course. The new moon, the first quarter, the full moon, and the last quarter. Then again, the new moon. So that is 29.53058885318531 days long. It's getting longer by a little less than a 15th of a second every century. There are, yes, you guessed it, 12.36826639275 lunar months in a tropical year. So the history of the calendar is largely about the attempts of astronomers, priests, mathematicians to force the tropical year and the lunar months to fit into a scheme compromised only of whole numbers. So like the geometers who dreamed of squaring the circle and the alchemists who sought to turn lead into gold, they faced an almost impossible task. But, as we know, that didn't deter them because we do have a calendar. Most ancient calendars, including those of Greece, were based upon lunar months. But in order to keep the calendar in step with the seasons, it was necessary to insert extra months now and then, because 12 lunar months are 10.875123-4326 days short of a tropical year. You guys writing all this down? Each of the Greek city-states kept its own calendar, however, and the insertion of the extra or intercalary month was left to the public authorities. Well, that would have been kind of messed up. So, in around 432 B.C., Meton of Athens noticed that, maybe that's Meton, I'm not sure, I never heard of that dude, noticed that 235 lunar months were almost exactly equal to 19 tropical years. The discrepancy is only of about 2 hours. So they proposed a 19-year cycle of intercalcation. Calippus, a century later, made 940 lunar months equal to 76 years each of 365.25 days. So that's starting to be a little bit closer to the numbers that we know. Hipparchus, the father, or that's probably Hipparchus, the father of modern astronomy, suggested a further cycle which made 304 years equal to 3,760 lunar months and 111,035 days. The Metonic cycle again became important in the early Christian church, which tied the date of Easter to the phases of the moon. But it is significant that although the Greeks made many profound contributions to Western culture, their calendar is not one of them. Dun, dun, dun. So the Egyptians, of course, a great civilization, great prosperity, you know, created some of the great wonders of the world, pyramids, the Sphinx, the Valley of the King, you know, the golden face of Tutankhamun, the pharaohs, immortality of the pharaohs, you know, who are found 4,000 years later, still very well preserved. Their year had 12 months, each of the 30 days, plus an extra 5 days at the end of the year. These 5 days were associated with the birthdays of the greatest gods of the Egyptian pantheon and were given over to celebrations. Thus, the year was 365 days long. The Egyptians made no attempt to force their calendar to keep step with the actual seasons, as we do by adding the leap days. Instead, they accepted that the seasons would gradually become later and later with respect to the calendar, in a cycle that would take 1,460 years to complete. And talk about planning ahead. Not like our politicians who have trouble thinking 4 years ahead. Hi. Oh, did I say that out loud? So the Egyptians checked the relation of their calendar to the natural year, not by observing the equinoxes and solstices, but by the heliacal rising of Cyrus, the dog star. This was the first sighting each year of Cyrus in the morning sky just before sunrise. Back to astronomy. So until the time of Julius Caesar, the Egyptian calendar was the only civil calendar in the ancient world, in which the length of each month and year was fixed by rule, instead of being determined by the discretion of priests and by the observations of astronomers. As such, it is the direct forerunner of our modern calendar. All right, that being said, at this time, my name's Pete. Delinquent, of course, in identifying Victor Echo 2 X-Ray Papa Lima. You're listening to the TNT Open Forum and the Wave Gods podcast. And we're opening the mics. Does anybody want to check in at this time? Anybody have any questions, comments? Come on aboard.
Five Papa Italy.
Five Papa Italy. Welcome. Come on aboard.
Oh, thank you. My name is Mike, and I'm located in southern Israel in the city of Eilat, Echo Lima Alpha Tango, on the Red Sea in southern Israel. And I have a question. Since the Gregorian calendar, I assume you're talking about the Gregorian calendar, is not the proper calendar. As you said, that was done by the Council of Nicaea, and these people were idiots, if I can say that. And the real calendar is the Jewish calendar. And by the way, a day is from sundown to sundown. That is a 24-hour period. Sundown to sundown, 24-hour period. So I just thought I'd throw that out there for conversational sake, and hope you're doing well there, Mr. Pete. The E2XPL from 4Z5 Papa Italy. Over.
Yeah, very good point, Mike, indeed. Yeah, I'm actually not talking about the Gregorian calendar per se. I'm just talking about the history of the modern day calendar. And I'm going to put a little blurb on the Jewish calendar little further in the presentation. So yeah, we'll be touching on that, because yeah, the calendar has taken many forms over time. So it's not a history of the Gregorian calendar, but I guess a history of the development of calendars and how we measure time in general. So and I make no claims to be an expert. I've read a couple of articles and I thought they were interesting, and I just kind of highlighted some of the points that I thought were cool, and I'm presenting them to you. But if you do have any specific questions, you know, don't be afraid to ask them, and I'll try to find the answer for you, if not today, in the next day or two. Now is a really good time to ask me questions, because I'm on vacation, so I got lots of time to do research, too. So maybe that's why I've been playing radio a little bit more, too. But does that answer your question? And do you have other questions there, Mike? And thanks for checking in, by the way. Happy to hear you.
No, I just didn't want people to think that the first calendar, if I may say this, and I may get blamed for it, but you know, it's okay. I got an asbestos suit on. But the first calendar was found in Genesis, the Bible, Genesis 1, chapter 1. So that's my only comment. Hope you have a great time. And I'm not gonna lie, it's dark over here, and it's you know, getting a little bit on the cool side. Not bad. I got the window open and sitting here in my shorts with no shirt on. Didn't mean to rub it in. V2XPL 4Z5 Papa Andrea. Go ahead and carry on.
Yeah, Roger that. Well, that's nice. It sounds actually like a very pleasant evening. It's dark here too. That's about the only thing in common. However, if I open the window and put my shorts on, I probably won't be as comfortable as you. Although there's enough equipment in here that if I turn it all on, I think I'd be all right. No, it's all good. It's actually really mild here. I don't know if you heard at the beginning. It's only -2 right now Celsius. So it's not very cold. Typically, it's a lot cooler than that this time of year. So it's very pleasant indeed. And you mentioned the first calendar in the book of Genesis. Do we know what time period that refers to, or at least when that was written? And you'll have to pardon me. My Bible study classes are far, far behind, and I'm not up on the Bible as much as I should be, as I was when I was a younger lad. But do we have a time frame on that? Back to you, Mike.
Well, the time frame is in the beginning.
Very good. Yeah, I guess I had that coming, didn't I? No, I'm just wondering more from a theological perspective when it was written. But I guess that would also depend on the versions of which Bible you're reading. And I mean as in not the story itself, but the versions and the interpretations, you know, and when they were written. And so in the beginning, it will stay, and I will accept that as a plausible and possible answer, sir. So there you go. And chime in at any time. I do leave breaks in between sentences and paragraphs, so just because I'm not calling on you guys doesn't mean you shouldn't check in as well. So it is an open forum after all. So with that, let's continue. Does anybody else want to check in before we do that? My name is Pete, V2XPL.
November 3, Romeo, Mike Delta, and my name is Walt.
Well, welcome. Go ahead, November 3, Mike, Romeo, Delta.
I didn't break in mostly to do any talking. I just scanned the channels and listen to you guys talk. And it seems very interesting, so I hope you don't mind if I just sit here and get some of your information. It's very acknowledging.
Well, sir, you're more than welcome to participate. You're more than welcome to listen. I'm not sure if this is your first visit here, but this is a small net that we run every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. At 0100 Zulu on Friday. It's called the TNT Open Forum, and it's an open forum net, as you probably guessed. And every week we present on a different topic. This week is the last show of 2010, and we're doing a brief history of the calendar, well, according to a few sources, and certainly not the definitive answers, of course. But this is something we do every Thursday night, so you're welcome to join us every Thursday, of course. I'm sorry I didn't get your name. Did I hear that your name was Harry, or did I completely misunderstand that? Back to you.
My name is Walter, and I don't know where you got Harry from, but my name is Walter, and what net do you belong to?
Well, this particular net is called the TNT Open Forum. It runs every Thursday night, but we're actually sponsored, and we belong to an organization called South Cars, which is the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. We're a group of over 10,000 amateur radios worldwide, and we have operations both on HF on 7.251 megahertz daily. That net's been going on for over 40 years. And this VOIP net on Echolink has been going on for just about 3 years now. And we're about 2,000 members just on the digital side. So I'm assuming this is your first visit to the South Cars group and to the Scars server. Back to you.
This is not my first visit. This is my third visit, and I already gave some gentleman there my birth date, and they were supposed to give me a number if they ever got a hold of it, because I do not have a computer, and so I can't get it by email. So I just figured I'd listen in, and that would be interesting.
Ah, very good. Well, welcome back. I'm glad to hear you. I'm glad to meet you, Walter. I don't know where I got Harry either. I guess it's just my ears. So don't worry about that. If you actually, I probably just wrote down your call wrong, but if you give me your call sign, I can get you that information right now if you'd like. I got the call as November 3, Mike Romeo Delta, but I probably have a typo. So if you'd confirm that, I'll give you your member number, sir. Back to you.
M3RMD.
All right. I had the letters right, but had written them in a dyslexic fashion, so I happen to do that quite a bit. RMD, and what we have is, Walter, your membership number is ECHO-1533, ECHO-1533, and I have you listed in Pennsylvania, so very good, sir. Well, welcome to the group. I'm happy to meet you. My name's Pete. My call sign is Victor Echo 2 X-ray Papa Lima. I'm transmitting from Montreal, Canada tonight. I host this net every Thursday with a group of two other co-producers. And once in a while I host the nets on Saturday morning as well. And sometimes I just talk. So I'm sure you'll be hearing my voice here and there once in a while. So I'm happy to make your acquaintance. And I hope you're enjoying the various nets. Back to you.
You said Echo 1-3. I couldn't catch the rest of it.
Yeah, sorry. I tend to ramble on. That's probably why I'm a net control operator. Echo 1-5-3-3. Echo 1-5-3-3. QSL?
Yes, my call it is Echo 1-5-3-3.
Roger that. And I just noticed that Gordon had written that in the text box for me, so thank you, Gordon. You've probably met Gordon, our net manager, who's sitting there in the background, who told me he wouldn't be there, but then he's always there anyways, even when he says he's not there. Gordon does a lot for South Cars and is a great resource. So, yes, Walter, you're more than welcome to join us, and I'm happy that you're happy to have you aboard tonight. So. Have any other questions or comments?
Not really, no questions. Just one comment is everybody that I hear on this band pretty has a lot of good information, and I enjoy talking to Gordon. And there was another gentleman from Scotland. I enjoyed talking to him, too. I think his name was Roger.
Yeah, that's Robert. Robert is his name, the gentleman from Scotland. MM3LVQ. Is his call, and yeah, he's actually quite active on the server as well, and a great gentleman indeed, a good friend, and unfortunately I don't get to talk to him as often as I'd like. My life, as many others, I've two young kids, so they keep me kind of busy, and so I don't get to play radio as much as I like to, but that's all right. I get to hang out with the kids, and that's good too. So there you go. Well, Robert, stick around. We're going to keep sharing some good information. At least I hope so. I hope it's good information. And let's see if anybody else wants to check in and say hi at this time. My name's Pete, Victor Echo 2 X-ray Papa Lima in Montreal. You're listening to the TNT Open Forum and the Waveguides podcast. Does anybody like to check in at this time? All right. Well, hearing nothing on a pause, let's continue. Let's see where the 7-day week comes from. So in Christendom, in Judaism, in Islam, the 7-day cycle of days of the week marks the basic period of work, rest, and communal worship. In the Bible, the creation of the world takes 6 days, and God rests on the seventh. So that's a pretty obvious segue into that 7-day work week. So it's difficult to trace the ultimate origin of the 7-day week, but in the Babylonian calendar, the 7th, 14th, 19th, 21st, and 28th days of each month were set aside for rest. After the exile, the Jewish calendar adopted the names of the Babylonian months, And it's possible that the week was also introduced into Judaism at this time. In early Rome, there was an eight-day cycle between market days. It was only in the 2nd century BC that a seven-day cycle became predominant. And this may be more owed to astrology than to Hebrew or Babylonian influences, according to Dr. Harper. Astrologers recognized seven planets, including the sun and the moon, and assigned one planet to rule each of the 24 hours of the day. And this was in a continuous sequence, of course. So the planet which ruled the first hour of the day was taken to rule the whole day, and this gave rise to a seven-day cycle. The Romans began to name each day after its ruling planet. So Saturn's day, the sun's day, the moon's day, Mars's day, Mercury's day, Jupiter's day, Venus's day. In the Romance languages, the connection is still evident. In French, I mean, I was reading these and I was blown away, and especially in French, you know, Saturn's day, Saturday, that's pretty obvious, the sun's day, moon's day, Monday, Mars day, that would be Tuesday, but in French that's Mars day, Mercury day, Mercredi, Jupiter's day, Jeudi, and Venus's day, Vendredi. Of course, it's kind of, you know, in English it's not as obvious. I'm translating it in my head, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday doesn't really match, but in the Latin root languages it's very obvious. So in French, for example, Monday to Friday becomes, as I just said, lundi, mardi, mercredi, jeudi, vendredi. In the Germanic languages, the use of the names of the Norse gods would be used. So Tiu, Woden, Thor, Freya replace Mars, Mercury, Jupiter, and Venus. Jewish tradition originally had no names for the days of the week. That's kind of interesting. They were giving them numbers instead. Only the Sabbath had its own name. The Roman names were adopted only slowly and reluctantly by the Jews and early Christians.
Pete, I can give you the numbering system of the of the Jewish days, if you like, but it's okay if you don't want it.
Whoops, I just muted myself. Yeah, absolutely. Mike, please come aboard. I would love that. The article, as I was reading the article, I didn't have a chance to research that, but I noticed that it didn't give us the numbers, so please come aboard with that information.
Yeah, okay. Well, the Jewish calendar, the days of the week, are strictly numbers, except for the Sabbath, and the first day is Aleph, or 1. The second is Bet, which is 2. The third day is Shloshim, which is 3. The fourth day is Arba, which is 4. The fifth day is Chamashi. The sixth day is Shishi, and the seventh day is Shabbat, of course. So that's just a little history of the numbers in the Jewish world. Numbers are very important in the Jewish world. They use numbers more than they do the words. So It's very nice to go back and study the situation with the numbers. Matter of fact, I keep going back to the Old Testament, but it's, you have a lot of, you know, they went to war a lot of times, and God told them to pick out 5,000 men. Well, that is a lot of numbers that he gave them. Didn't tell him 5,000 men, but he gave him the number to pick out. So anyway, that's just a little side note and something to chew on for a while. And if you keep chewing on it, you may come to a conclusion that is very important. VE2XVL from 4Z5, Papa Indy. You're keeping me up, Pete.
And I'll leave my collar Bravo on the side.
Yeah, very good. Well, thank you for that, Mike. Very cool indeed. Lima Charlie Bravo, come on aboard.
Well, Pete, I might add to it also, you know, when you talk about days, too, there's a big difference in the length of time of what a day is. You know, and it also, we've got creative days, you know, and that's a time span there. And there's different references, like one day is 1,000 years. So there's a whole lot of a reading to really understand where I'm at there. And like the beginning, you know, time doesn't even enter my mind. You know, I knew I have to be somewhere at a certain time for the world's sake. But you know, it just passes right on. You know, when the sun sets, I usually go to sleep, and when it gets up, I usually get up. But whatever minutes in between, those who knows me knows I'm telling you like it is. I just don't pay too much attention to time. But yeah, there are different ways to chronology. Will tell you the different times as far as the beginning of time there. So from there different astronomers, so to speak, and then we can get up you know, in the Greeks, the different gods and all, how they came up with their time figure. But like Mike said, you know, it all started in the beginning. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Yeah, and it's all going to end in the end, eh? And everything in between is a great adventure and a great mystery. So, time is a fascinating thing. No matter how you look at it, you know, different cultures and different civilizations do and have looked at it in different ways. And still do, and I think it's fascinating. And I live in Montreal, which is very multicultural, and so I'm really just interested just in how different ethnic groups view time, and you know, some cultures, you know, time is you know, you have to be precise by the minute. Others, you know, in a lot of Latin countries, you know, you could be up to an hour late. It's not a big deal. You know, they're not late. You're just kind of, if you say I'm going to be there at 2, well, it's 2-ish kind of thing. So, and the people who are there, you know, waiting for you, don't get offended, because that's the way the culture is. So we all look at it in different ways. And as we can see by this brief history, and like I said, this document goes on for 15 pages, and I highly recommend it. It will be in the show notes. I'll put the link in the show notes page of the website on the waveguides.ca website, which you can access via VOIP.southcars.com, of course, the TNT podcast link. And check out the article. It's a really interesting article. And, you know, you can kind of understand why there's no consensus today, since there seems to have been no consensus since the beginning of time. You know, different cultures and different civilizations have done different things with time, and today we have more of a standard than we had way back when, you know, in the beginning, as it were, because now we have more of a global village, as it were. So, you know, people here and people on the other side of the world may interact on the same day, which wasn't the case 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years ago. So with that, does anybody else want to chime in? Anybody else have any questions, comments, concerns? Come on aboard.
KW4 Oscar Victor India, checking in. Over.
Well, welcome back, Pete. KW4 OVI, welcome aboard. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm being called to the breakfast table here. But like I say, it's all, time is relative. And let me tell you something. The older you get, the faster time goes. Now, you explain that in a nutshell. That would be a great undertaking by the highest of the highest esteem mathematics people that are on this earth, in particular. Only explain that relativity. Katie Fawaska, Big India.
Ah, well, my friend, you've come to the right place. Prepare to be amazed and bedazzled, because I have a possible explanation to that. I've often wondered that myself. I've wondered why, as time goes on, time seems to go faster. And it seems that the most logical explanation that I've had, I've asked a lot of people this question. I kind of consider myself to be a bit of a philosopher. I'm also a very curious person, and I always have been. You know, the 2-year-old asking why, Daddy. Well, you know, that's me. I've been doing that all my life. But that being said, and I digressing as I usually do, it would seem that it's more of a psychological phenomenon than a mathematical one, and the explanation is pretty simple. And this is the one that I kind of adhere to now as making the most sense. So let me pause before I time out. But it would seem that early in life, it all has to do with the amount of time that you've lived. Early in life, the amount of time that you've lived and the amount of time that you have to reflect back on and compare to. So as a 5-year-old, if you're waiting for an hour, let's say, you're a 5-year-old, that hour seems like an eternity because you've only had 5 years of cognitive experience behind you. As a 55-year-old, you've had more time behind you to compare that hour to. So because of that, that hour doesn't seem as long. I don't know if I'm making sense. That's kind of how it was explained to me. So as time goes on, you have more time behind you to compare the time that you're experiencing now that seems to be going faster, and that's why, apparently, time seems to go by faster as you get older. And, of course, there's other psychological variables. If you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs or counting the tiles on the floor or watching the paint dry or the grass grow, time is going to seem a lot longer than if you're doing something that you really enjoy. And then that's another curse in life, isn't it? Wouldn't it be nice if it was reversed? You know, when you're having a grand old time, you know, the end comes before you know it, and way too soon. When you're bored, time seems to drag on forever. So those are the explanations that I've had. I don't know if that made any sense to you, Pete, KD4OVI.
Yeah, it's quite a topic. You know, it's like a parable. You let's say you go on a spaceship and you're going to Mars or some place like that. The first few days go so slow because you're waiting to get to Mars. The closer you get to Mars, the faster the time goes, because you're anticipating getting to Mars quicker because the time has elapsed. I don't know whether that has anything to do with it or not. I don't know, but it seems like that's the journey that we're taking. Anyway, anyhow, Pete, my ex-wife is cautioning me that the time on the chow time is approaching. And I must conform to what is being said in the kitchen. Kitchen is conforming. I have to conform to the kitchen time now. So it's been a pleasure of hearing from you again there. And Happy New Year to all who is listening on the South Cars server. And with that in mind, I will toot my horn, toodaloo, to all yours. And And take care. Katie Kowalska, Victor India. Second time. Toodaloo.
All right, Pete. Well, take care. Thanks for chiming in. Good evening to you and your lovely better half, of course, if she can hear me. And if not, you can pass on my wishes. We'll talk again real soon. And if you want to hear the end, I guess you'll have to tune into the podcast, waveguides.ca or voip.southcars.com. The TNT Waveguides podcast, and you could hear the exciting conclusion of the history of the calendar. I know we're pretty much going to wrap it up in the next 10 or 15 minutes. We're looking at 2100 hours in the east, 0200 on Friday morning, Universal Coordinated Time, UTC. I guess that's Universal Time Coordinated. We will be... We usually try to keep it under an hour. Sometimes we go a little bit over. But that's okay. And yes, time is a fascinating, fascinating subject indeed, isn't it? We'll do a little series on time. Kind of like the Discovery Channel, you know. We'll start a bunch of series like Shark Week. Anyhow, anybody else want to check in? You're listening to Pete, V2XPL in Montreal, the TNT Open Forum, and the Wave Guides podcast. Welcome to the Open Forum. All right, well... we'll just start to wrap it up here. For the benefit of Mike, 4Z5PI in Israel, a little bit of what Dr. Harper has to say on the Hebrew calendar. So he goes on to say, in biblical times, Jewish communities used a lunar calendar. That's what we saw earlier. Let's try that again. Used a lunar calendar, which included intercalary months at times determined by the Sanhedrin, the Council of Religious Leaders. And of course, Mike, you can correct me after on all my mispronunciations. I am by no means an expert. By the 4th century of the Christian era, this had been replaced by a calendar which followed explicit rules. It was still based upon the lunar month, but intercalary months were inserted according to the Metonic cycle, which made 19 tropical years equal to 235 lunar months.
Actually, it's called Sanhedrin, which I won't go into it, but there's a difference between the H and the H, hi. go ahead, Pete, and read it, and... maybe one of these days, if you want to, I can get with you and we can have a biblical type situation and also a modern day situation that we can talk about. What do you think about that? And if that's true, then we'll get together and then discuss it and put it on the air. What do you think? Go ahead.
Yeah, sounds good. No, I wasn't trying to put you on the spot. I was just looking for proper pronunciations because I know that my pronunciations are not always very concise. So that's Sanhedrin. Basically, it's just the pronunciation of the first month of the Hebrew year is named Tishri if it falls in the autumn. Second and third months name, I guess that would be Heshvan or Heshvan, and Kislev may have 29 or 30 days. If it's a leap year, the sixth month, Adar, is repeated. The first time, Adar 1 with 30 days, and the second, Adar 2 with 29 days. So, and then it goes on with all these interesting variables. And of course, there's a number of rules which are used to decide whether the first day of the new year must be postponed. These rules prevent... Hosanna, Rabbah, and Yom Kippur from falling on the Sabbath and ensure that the adjustments that do not cause the length of the year to fall outside the acceptable range. So, and yes, Mike, actually, I'd be fascinated. I would love to have a chat with you about calendars and time. And I'm very fascinated by religions, different religions in different times and present religions in different cultures. And I started a little bit of religious studies when I was in university, not in the aim of becoming any type of clerical person, but just because, you know, basically the history of the world is the history of religions. Religions have been driving history for thousands of years, ever since man's been around. And by religions, I mean everything that's come around it, too, be it beliefs, spirituality, cults, everything that people have deemed, the great beyond or greater powers. And, yeah, I'm fascinated by that stuff. So when we both have some spare time, I would gladly accept your invitation, sir. It would be an honor. With that being said, let's open the mic one more time, and then I guess we'll head towards the conclusion. My name is Pete, V2XPL, and this is the TNT Open Forum and the Wave Guides podcast. All right, nothing being heard. So Basically, the article goes into various types of calendars, the world calendar, a little bit of the Hebrew calendar, which I gave you an overview. The crescent moons, it goes over what happened in what was known as the Age of Reason. It's kind of an ironic title, but kind of depends on your historical perspective, too. The Gregorian reforms, et cetera, et cetera. So a very, very interesting, like I said, it's 15 pages long, so I won't read it word for word. I'd like you guys to stick around for a while, but I will put the link on the website. This article was written by Dr. David Harper in 1998, and it is called A Brief History of the Calendar. You guys can get that on obliquity.com if you guys are interested. All right, so with that being said, we'll open the mics one last time before we shut it down for the evening. You've been listening to the Waveguides podcast, the TNT Open Forum, and we're looking for check-ins, last call for check-ins. Welcome aboard.
Net Control, this is Kilo Echo 4, India Fox 7 to you.
Oh, roger that. KE4IFI, welcome aboard. Welcome to the TNT Open Forum.
Thank you. And I'm in Columbia, Lexington, South Carolina area. Good evening. And Happy New Year to everybody out there.
Well, good evening to you, sir. Thanks for joining us. We're just wrapping up the open forum. We've been discussing a little bit of the history of the calendar and how it's come about over the last couple thousand years. And this was an article that was written by a gentleman by the name of Dr. David Harper. And he's got a Bachelor of Science in Mathematics and Astronomy and is a PhD in Applied Mathematics presently at the University of Liverpool. And we've been looking at some of his theories about time and the calendar. Basically, how does he conclude his article? He basically asks us, when is the beginning of the new millennium? So we recently entered the third millennium, as you know, the year 2000. The third millennium of the Christian era, or the 21st century. Did it begin on January 1st, 2000, or on January 1st, 2001? And his answer is January 1st, 2001 is the beginning of the third millennium and the beginning of the new century, 21st century. And why? Because the year 1 BC was followed immediately by the year 1 AD in the calendar that we now recognize. There was no year zero. And so AD 1 was actually the first year of the Christian era. So AD 1 was actually year zero. First century of that area was completed after 100 years at the end of AD 100. So the second century began with the year AD 101 and ended in AD 200 and so on. So the 19th century ran from 1801 to 1900 inclusive, 20th century 1901 to 2000, and thus the 21st century is the year 2001 and on. So there you go. So his epilogue reads, the calendar has a powerful hold on our lives and our imaginations. It has a rich and fascinating history interwoven with the lives of remarkable men who have enabled it. It is mankind's attempt to choreograph the eternal dance of the sun, the moon, and the earth. It has served well for 2,000 years. No doubt it will serve for another 2,000. Like I said, that was written by Dr. David Harper. Check it out, obliquity.com, if you guys want to read the whole article. It's available for download as a PDF. It's not a very big PDF file, so check it out. So we'll do it one more time. We'll ask for any last-minute check-ins on the TNT Open Forum before we close it down. My name's Pete, V2XPL in Montreal, and we're looking for last-minute check-ins.
Hey, my Charlie Bravo.
All right, Net recognizes KW4LCB. Welcome back.
KW4LCB to VE2XPL. Well, I want to thank you, Pete. Most enjoyable forum tonight there. I totally have been enjoyed it there immensely there. Just wanted to ring in before you rung the bell there. You know, yeah, this can go on and on and on, you know, like I said, as far as time there. What can I say? You know, I'm here and I'll be here until it's a time. But, you know, as far as the days, the months, the years, whatever, it all, it doesn't make a whole hill of beans. What can I say, my friend? We love you. Take care. KW40, my Charlie Bravo.
Yeah, roger that. It matters and it doesn't matter. I mean, if it wasn't for time, how would you know when to listen to all of these great nets that we listen to? I guess that, you know, for some of them we could go with, you know, just after sunrise, just before sunset. And I'm pretty sure it would be close enough, wouldn't it? So, yeah, I got to agree. And like Pete was saying, OVI, just before he left, it seems to take less and less importance as time goes on. So it's a fascinating thing indeed. So thanks for being there, George, and thanks for your regular support. Does anybody else want to check in before we bring it to a wrap?
November 3, Romeo Mike Delta. This is Web again. I just want to say before you shut down that I really enjoyed everything I've been listening to.
Oh, thank you very much, Robert. QSL that. I appreciate the kind words. This net is a little bit different from the other ones that you're used to hearing on South Cars, and we do that on purpose. This is an open forum. We regularly present, we've been a little bit more lighthearted around the holidays. We've been talking about calendars and about Christmas around the world and things of that nature. But we do present a lot of interesting topics throughout the years, and in the last 2 years, we're going into our third year soon here as well on the TNT Open Forum. But we've presented things as diverse as, talking to satellites with your handheld transceiver. We've talked about fishing with Mr. George, KW4LCB. He's talked to us about fishing. He's talked to us about search and rescue. We've talked about the SCARS server and its backbone and how it works, the history of VOIP. We talk about all kinds of interesting technical subjects. And it's an open forum, so anybody can chime in. We have trivia nights. We talk about boat anchors. So we try to keep it on a more technical side, usually related to ham radio, but not always. You know, tonight was a little bit technical. It had more to do with astronomy, still on the geeky side of things. You know, we try to keep it interesting for everyone involved, and we try to keep it very diverse as well. So if you check in week after week, you'll find that it's usually quite interesting. That brings me to 2011, starting in January. We're going to have an interesting program coming up. We're going to have Mike, KD0CDQ, who's going to be continuing with his outreach series. We're going to have the return of our open forum roundtable discussions with our panel discussions. We're going to have a little bit of a course starting on the TNT Open Forum. Not really a course, but I guess more of a discussion of an article that was written by Gordon KY6V called Getting Back to Basics. And we're going to have Gordon and Tony KJ4PUJ presenting that. The start date on that is not confirmed yet, but it'll be in early January or February. So stay tuned for that as well, and as well as other interesting articles presented, interviews, topics that we'll present. So, of course, if you have a let me pause before I time out. If anybody has any comments, they can write us at any time, of course, voip@southcars.com. And just state your question, and it will be forwarded to the appropriate person, and we'll be happy to get back to you in our... And as early as possible, of course, as early as we have an answer. So with that, I'd like to say thanks to everyone listening tonight. Thanks to our live listeners. Thanks to the people who listen to us via podcast and who download us. We're very thankful to have you guys, and this show is for you guys. So if you have any comments, critiques, suggestions you'd like to make for topics that you'd like to hear, please drop us a line. for VOIP on the live side, you can mail us, email us at VOIP@southcars.com. And for those people listening to the podcast, you could reach me directly at info@waveguides.ca. And with that, we'll say 7-3. Have a happy new year to everybody. Please, everybody, be safe. Absolutely no drinking and driving. Pete will not allow drinking and driving. So think of yourselves, think of your loved ones, and think of the people in your community. So please be safe when you're out there partying tomorrow night. And we will wish you a happy new year and all the best for 2011. So with that being said, my name's Pete. Victor Echo 2 X-Ray Papa Lima in Montreal, and you've been listening to the TNT Open Forum and the Waveguides podcast. I'd like to say good night, and I'd like to return the SCAR server to normal ham radio use. Good night, everyone, and we'll talk to you guys soon.